Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to Jonah, of all places. And we all know the story of Jonah. It's not normally one that we look at as a positive because Jonah was running from the Lord. But there's something in Jonah that I saw that I really felt inspired, just mainly because of our graduates this morning. But how many people know that you can always gain something? Amen? So even though this is focused on our graduates, it is for everyone. And then the story of Jonah, we know that the Lord gave him a command, right? And he was supposed to go tell Nineveh that they needed to repent. But we know that Jonah did not want to go because he knew that even if he went and he shared what they needed to do, God was going to change his mind and forgive the people, and it would all been a waste. And beside the fact, Jonah did not like the Ninevites, okay? So we know the story. What does he do? He gets in a boat and he goes what? The opposite direction, right? And this is the key verse. In verse 17, we know that there was a huge storm that took place on the sea. Everybody was saying, pray to your God. And where is Jonah? I find this interesting. Even though he's walking in disobedience, Jonah is asleep in the middle of this huge storm. Has anybody ever been on a boat in a storm? Well, I have, and I'll just tell you, it's very difficult to sleep on a big boat in a storm because it's rocking you back and forth and back and forth, right? But he's sleeping while everyone else is panicking. And so finally they draw sticks and they're like, okay, who's responsible? And it turns out it's Jonah. And they're like, what did you do? He's like, long story, guys. Just chuck me overboard. I mean, can you stop and think about this? We do this a lot lately. We stop and think about a Bible story. If we were all in a boat, and it was my fault, okay, and I told you, just chuck me overboard, what would your response be? Are you crazy? If you looked out there, if we chuck you over, you're going to die. You're not going to make it, right? But it says that finally, when they've done everything that they could do, they toss him overboard. And this is the part I want you to see, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared. Say, had prepared. Say it again. One more time. This is important. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and three nights. And you know what most scientists say? This is impossible. It can't happen. It's impossible. The makeup of a fish, it's not designed to be able to swallow a human being and to be able to keep them for 3 days. There's like an acid in the stomach of every great big fish that is made to degrade or to dissolve everything that it eats, right? And so it would have dissolved Jonah even if he made it in there, and there's no way he could have stayed alive for 3 days. It's impossible. What's that say up there? But with God, all things are possible. And this is so important. And it's all due to these two words, had prepared. I don't care what that fish was designed to do. This fish was singled out of all the ocean, and the Lord prepared its insides to be able to house a man for 3 days and three nights. When I looked this up in the Hebrew, listen to this, the word had prepared in the Hebrew is actually manna. M-A-N-A-H, manna. I know it's not spelled like manna from heaven, but I thought that's really interesting because the manna from heaven was what? Impossible. And yet it was prepared by who? God for his people. So we see twofold here. The word manna in the Hebrew means counting and numbering and appointing, assigning, and preparing. So you're like, counting and numbering, what does that mean? And when I looked this up, it says the verb in this, the had prepared or had anointed, underscores the certainty and the incalculable magnitude of our covenant promise with God. What does that mean? It means we have a covenant. And there are no numbers. There's no way to figure it out numerically for us to be able to grasp how big and how amazing that our covenant is with God. And this is about Jonah, who wasn't even going the right direction, okay? But yet God, he had a covenant with God, and this is how much God cared about him. And the second meaning of manna is appointing, assigned, preparing. A great fish was appointed and was assigned and was prepared so that Jonah could be eaten up and kept for 3 days and then spit out again. This is supernatural. It shows us, this word and this meaning shows us that creation itself answers to God's purposeful commands. Woo! That's amazing. Anybody remember Elijah? Who fed Elijah? Ravens. Do ravens normally come and bring you food, or do they normally come and steal your food? But you see, we can see throughout the Bible in testimonies. Anybody remember Balaam and his donkey? Okay? God can take creation and use it for his purpose and his glory. And that's what he did. So your graduates are probably going, what in the world does this have to do with me? The Lord has prepared. He has prepared for you for your future. You may, a lot of times when you get to this point, you may think, what if I make the wrong choice? What if I step out and do the wrong thing? Can I tell you something? My guess is you're not going to get on a ship and go the opposite direction of what God has told you to do. So if he's willing to go help a man get back on track with what he's called him to do, who's running the wrong direction, how much more you? How much more you? He loves you. He has a covenant that is so incalculable. You can't even fathom how much the minute, very little, teeniest, tiniest detail about your life that God cares. He cares about it all. And he has a plan and a purpose for you. And if you will be faithful to follow him in what he's calling you to do, you will make it. You may say, well, what if I make the wrong step in the wrong direction? Guess what? He's going to be right there to say, oh, go back. Go back, and you'll be able to go right back and step in line and go forward. You're not going to go anywhere until you take a step. And God's faithful, and you'll know it. And you might be thinking, well, what does it have to do with tithes and offerings? Because graduates, I'll tell you this, the number one key in your life, now that you're adults, is you tithe. You tithe. Why is that important? Because tithing, we know, sets us apart from the world. It sets us apart from the world's economy. It sets us apart from the world's influence. It blesses the 90%, for all of us who have been around a lot longer can say amen to, and that sometimes that 90% goes to 130. And we don't know how it happened, but it happened, right? So it's so important that you know that God has prepared for you a future. It is an amazing thing. And even if he has to use creation to do all kinds of crazy things to be able to get you where you need to go, to the people God has called you to be with, or the career, or the place that he has for you, he will do it. That's how much he loves you. This story is a story of, you know, we shouldn't rebel against God, but it's also an eye-opener to remind us that God himself has prepared. This word, this phrase, had prepared, also means destined, designated, sent, commanded, and appointed. That's who you are today. That's who you are today in the Lord. You are all these things. He has all these things in store for you. So you be a sower. Why? Because when you tithe, you're telling the devil and everybody else, God is the one I look to. God is my source. Not me, not my job, not my parents, not my family, not my extended family. God is my source. That's what you're telling the world and everyone else when you tithe. And then you step back and you watch him do his amazing work in your life. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this amazing word. You are so faithful. even if you have to prepare something that is meant for something else and you redesign it, God, you are willing to do that for us because of the covenant that we have with you. And Father, I pray today over every person in this room who's thinking about tithing or not tithing, or maybe they're thinking about, well, what do I need to do next in my finances? I pray, Lord, we would come back to this moment that God himself has prepared for us a plan. All we have to do is ask. And Father, I pray that when we seek you with all of our heart, we'll find you. We'll find the direction. We'll find the peace of go this way or go that way. And Father, I pray for, especially for the graduates, but for all of us in this room, that we are going to accomplish all the things that you have called us to do. That we're not going to, even if we have stepped off the wrong path, we're going to get back on that path and we're going to finish the race strong in the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every time that people hear the name Jonah, that they're going to start remembering that God prepared something ahead of time for Jonah to take care of him. And that's what I think, I pray that we think of when we think of Jonah. Oh, that's right, God. You've prepared a plan for me. You've designed something specifically for me. You've appointed me. You've called me. You've commanded me to go, and you will provide for that. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing every person's dream, vision, future, that you would provide exceedingly and abundantly above all they could ask or imagine financially to accomplish everything that you've called them to accomplish. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing on this message entitled, Let Freedom Ring. Praise the Lord. And we began it on May 4th, and we've been kind of in and out of it with different special services and things. But I believe there's a couple more messages with this. And it's regarding sort of the history and the prophetic meaning behind our nation's Liberty Bell. Amen. Somebody say, Let Freedom Ring. Hallelujah. And I just love things like this. There's been just a kind of a refreshed drawing back to the foundations of our faith in our nation. And just things like this really should jump out to us, and we should look at them and do some study and some research to just so we can realize and remember and come back to the foundations of our faith as a country and what that's all about. Amen. And our foundation text has been Leviticus 25:10. Why? Because that's what's inscribed on that bell. So for anybody that would say, you know, you've heard it said in many circles that, you know, our founding fathers were agnostics or atheists or whatever, I don't think an atheist or an agnostic would choose a scripture to put on that bell, and especially a scripture out of the book of Leviticus. That tells me they knew their Bibles, right? And also the prophetic meaning behind it, right? This is the verse that they put on there. And it said, and you shall hallow the 50th year. Somebody say the 50th year. They literally ordered this bell. It was sent over from London because this was the 50th year of religious liberty in our nation. They had been used to tyranny, right? What the king says goes, and that includes in church. Amen? They were done with that. No more. Somebody say, no more tyranny. Right? That's why, you know, we look at the things in the news lately with Iran. There were Iranian. Now, how many know the Iranian people are not the enemy? There were Iranian people rejoicing at what was happening. Why? Because tyranny. Literally, your life is in your hand every day in a nation like that. And building, you know, nuclear arsenals and all that kind of thing. This was an amazing thing. And God bless President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu for being men who would be men, be righteous men, and make decisions nobody else would want to make. right? To make the world a safer place, to make Israel a safer place, to bring judgment on the enemies of God, literally, to bring judgment on those who would want to wipe Israel and the U.S. off the map. And we have to really be watchful that we watch what we're listening to and what we hear, because there's going to be a whole fresh new onslaught of lies. Amen? And we've got to keep our eye on the ball here. Blessed are they who blessed you, and cursed are they who curse you toward Israel. So our president, Donald Trump, what the decision that he made right now is another one of those decisions that's going to carry on long past his lifetime. I mean, this set them back probably a generation thinking about what they're going to have to rebuild, and they will. Because it is a spiritual stronghold in that nation, right? It's been there for thousands of years. But this whole thing, the prophetic word about a global reset, that's what we're witnessing in the world. Amen. And people like Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu are God's tools. Praise God for our military. That one story I heard was, praise God for the name. I mean, you do not, if anybody should just look at history and realize you don't mess with Israel. Even though they look so small and, you know, all this. This is God's chosen nation, God's chosen people. They had intelligence on the ground in Iran that was feeding them information on where people were, where targets were. There was one story that I heard that all of these Iranian leaders fled to a hideout in the mountains. And Israel knew where they were going. And they waited until they were all in the building. And then one missile, lights out. Right? Now see, they're not attacking civilians. They're not attacking hospitals and neighborhoods like Muslim extremist people who hate Israel, who hate America like they do. Right? And then God bless our president and our military that went to work yesterday. I don't know what exact time it was. But they sent the bomb that could go underground, because Israel couldn't get very far underground with the tools they have, and take out three critical targets that is going to greatly impact their ability to produce nuclear weapons. I mean, this kind of stuff is prophetic, it's magnificent, it's just, it's godly, it's right. Amen? Nobody likes war or acts of war. But sometimes war is necessary, and acts of war. There's a scripture that says we have a God who's a God of war. There is an angel in heaven named Michael, and he's not God's masseuse. No, he's the angel of war. Hallelujah. So we rejoice at these things, and we pray for the enemies, absolutely. They had, and that's another cool thing about this, the spirit of liberty. We're talking about the spirit of liberty, who is literally the spirit of God. God reaches out to people. The bell rings. There was a ringing. There was a ringing from Donald Trump, from the U.S. Let's talk. We need to talk, Iran. But they wouldn't. They ignored the warning. We're going to continue to build nuclear weapons because we hate Israel, we hate America, and something had to happen, and it had to happen now. And I say glory to God. I say thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. But what is it all about? It's about the spirit of liberty. Down in your notes there, we'll come back to it in a minute, but Pastor Russell Johnson, who, glory to God, pastors a great church in Seattle, multiple campuses. They tried to shut him down in 2020 because he refused to shut his church down. He took the governor on. And a lot of his church abandoned ship because they thought he was loco, crazy. Right? But no, he was just following God's plan for his life. He shared a testimony that he had even gone into hawk on his own house to try to build the church. And he said, I thought we were done. I thought it was over, but no, there was a mighty move of God in that region. Somebody say, in that region. Here. In one of the most liberal cities in our nation. I love the bumper stickers that I see on some people's cars that live in Washington, and they're proud. And it says, with a map of Washington, upper left. Like, we are the upper echelon of the... It's like, you ought not really brag about that. You ought to repent about that, right? But Pastor Russell kept going, and his church grew and grew, and they have thousands now, thousands of people that respect that kind of leadership. Glory to God. And he was in an interview on Flashpoint. Remember this word, Flashpoint. Somebody say Flashpoint. Great broadcast to be watching on the Victory Network. Actually, they're on multiple networks now. And Victory News. I'm going to show you a clip from Victory News. Somebody say Victory News, right, on the Victory Network. Great sources of good journalism. Faith-based, right? But Pastor Russell said this, and I had to write it down. In fact, I thought, did he come up with that? And I still am not quite positive. It was so. But sometimes when God brings a word, it's like, wow, man, that's just so quick. And like, it's. I actually looked it up. And it was a quote about liberty. And I did a little search. You know, I typed in the exact quote, and it brought up the Three Amigos. Wherever liberty is threatened, you will find. And I was like, okay, I like the Three Amigos, but I'm being serious right now. Okay. Tell us we will die like dogs. That's what it brought up. I mean, sometimes Google makes you giggle, right? It's like, that's not reality, okay? That's Hollywood. That's fun, right? But this is real. Amen? How many know there's a real devil, and there's a real God. There's a real heaven. There's a real hell. There's real right and real wrong. There's real good, and there's real evil. So whose side are we on, right? It's a daily decision, isn't it? Amen? But Pastor Russell said this in an interview. He said, if liberty is threatened anywhere, it's threatened everywhere. And so he was talking about wherever it is that we're fighting this spirit, we've got to fight it because it's going to try to take over the whole country. Right? That's one thing I love about our friends Bob and Jenny Donnelly down there is Jenny particularly is, you know, she's a public speaker and does all these things. She's known as Mama Bear, right? Speaking up for the kids of our nation, fighting for the kids of our nation. And she said in an interview that I saw also, she said, we thought maybe in 2020 we'd move away to Florida because we were tired of all this. But then she said she realized if the kitchen's on fire, it's probably going to spread to the living room. So God told them, stay put in Portland. Glory to God. Amen. So what are we doing? We're fighting for liberty. And the Liberty Bell literally reminds us that there is a fight involved, right? The thing is cracked, right? The crack actually goes right through the word liberty, which reminds us that liberty is fragile. And liberty needs to be contended for and protected and passed on to future generations. See, what Donald Trump and Bibi Netanyahu did this past 8 days is going to affect future generations. It's not going to be liked by many. It's going to be hated and despised by many. Because to some, right, any act of war is absolutely evil and despised and nutty and crazy. And well, why did you do this here, but you didn't do that there? Because there's the thing called wisdom. The spirit of liberty has in it the spirit of wisdom. Right? Hallelujah. But glory to God. The scripture inscribed on the bill is Leviticus 25:10. These specific words are on it. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Somebody say all the land. Unto all the inhabitants thereof. Glory to God. Somebody say liberty. Liberty. And that word jubilee they focused on because it was the 50th year of religious liberty back then. And they knew the Old Testament that talks about the Jubilee year. And next year, our country turns 250. Jubilee in the Shemash, right? This is, you know, Messianic, particularly, you know, Jewish rabbis teaching on the word Jubilee. Means words like land and freedom are divine gifts. Somebody say land and freedom are divine gifts, right? Ownership, and this is talking about, you know, a Jubilee year, what happens in a Jubilee season or a Jubilee year. Land and freedom are divine gifts. Ownership reverts to those to whom he wills it. There is a supreme owner. Hallelujah. That's why going into this season of a Jubilee year, we're seeing a global reset of things reverting and going back to the way God wants them to be. Will the devil just let that happen? No, he's going to fight it. Until he is removed from the planet, which that day is coming, he's going to fight it. Right? And a lot of his plans are underground, buried underground, and a lot of them are right out in the open. Right? But God knows where it is. Somebody say, God knows where he's hiding. Right? And God knows what his plan is. Amen? And God is adamantly against his plan. That's why the devil's called the adversary, because he wants everything adverse to the will of God. Where God wants health, he wants sickness. Where God wants life, he wants death. Where God wants purity, he wants perversion. Exact opposite. So we stand against him in the name of Jesus. Right? But we celebrate these things in Jesus' name. And Galatians 5:1, in terms of let freedom ring, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And I love the word us right now. A lot of times in Scripture, I think of United States, prophetically, right? It is for freedom that Christ has set us, somebody say us, free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We're going to talk about that word a little bit today too. Because one of the things Liberty Bell reminds us of is the end of slavery. It went on a tour right before the Civil War. Because it was broken, it couldn't be rung anymore. And they took it on tour to show everybody, hey look, liberty to all. No matter what the skin pigmentation or nationality in this country, liberty to all. Somebody say liberty to all. Freedom in Christ. Slavery is not right. Slavery is evil, and that includes drugs and trafficking. Slavery has not ended by any means in the world. Right? There are still cartels. There are still slave owners around the world. There are still people enslaved to habits, addictions. There are still people that treat other human beings like animals. There are still people that enslave children and traffic them and then brutally kill them when they're done with them. That's unimaginable. It's straight up out of hell. Right? And that's why we pray. That's why we vote. That's why we don't bury our head in the sand and act like it's not there, it's not happening. No, no, we stay right up in the devil's face. In the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? But when we talk about let freedom ring, ring means to give forth a clear and resonant sound. How many think that Iran got a clear and resonant sound in the past 8 days? And sometimes the devil needs to hear it and hear it clear. No means no. Go means go. Now means now. Right? There's no, you know, unclarity in some of these things, right? Hallelujah. To give forth, that's what this bell reminds us of, right? To be filled with sound. And right now this bell doesn't ring anymore. It is silent. But it should be ringing out in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts and in our prayers, right? for innocent people around the world that are being treated brutally, right? And some will say, well, yeah, well, why'd you do what you did this past? Well, we weren't targeting civilians. We were targeting nuclear development sites, right? There was a very specific, coordinated, calculated glory to God, right? Amen. Praise his name forevermore. It means to sound loudly, to see. Why do we have to, is this about what we want? No, we're literally sounding out for people who have no voice. Someone has to speak up for the kids, for the children, for people that are enslaved, for people that don't have justice. That's what the spirit of liberty does. That's what the heart of our forefathers was to start it here and let it spread all over the world. George Washington, that was what his heart was. Let's do it here and then take it to the world, man. The spirit of liberty. Amen. To sound by striking, to announce or proclaim, to usher in or out, the word ring we're talking about, right? To summon, we're going to talk about that today. To signal, we're going to talk about that today. To a sound that's continued or repeated or reverberated. Somebody say continued, repeated, reverberated. We've got to stay on it. Well, Donald Trump's in office. We can all just quit and go back to our... No. You need to stay on it. Keep ringing. Keep voting. Keep praying. Keep acting. Keep listening. Keep showing up. Hallelujah. Amen. Do it like... I love somebody said, pray like it all depends on God. And work like it all depends on you. Amen. I love it. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to talk about, we've gone through different words that this bell reminds us of. And today I want to talk about the word respond. When you hear a bell ringing, and I think of different movies, like I remember Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Have you ever seen that old movie? The musical? And the guys come in and they start taking their brides out of their own houses, right? And the guys go to the center of the city and they start ringing a bell, ding, ding, and everybody comes to the bell. They respond to the ring because why? We need help. Alarm, alert, 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 right? Also, one of our favorite shows, maybe you remember from the 70s, is the show Emergency. I used to call it Fire 51. Where they would be on the phone with Rampart, remember that? Great show. And they would be in the firehouse, eating chili and crackers, and all of a sudden, they drop everything and run to the fire trucks, find out where they need to go. It's an alarm. It demands a response. I told somebody in a business, we have this really early business meeting where we do some networking, and for some reason somebody picked 7 a.m., 6:45 for me on a Wednesday morning every week. And I don't normally have to set my alarm, but for that I do, because I got to be up and going at 5:30. And I told somebody this past week, we were kind of, because you get there and you're kind of like, hi, yeah, it's 7 o'clock, good to see you, right? The idea is to get your networking going before the business day and all that. And I told one of the people, I was like, I would not make a good fireman. Because if that alarm went off, I'd have to have coffee first. And then kind of ease toward the fire truck, right? How many know it needs a response? Response now. Right? It should remind us when we hear God reverberating that bell, the spirit of liberty, the Holy Ghost reverberating in our heart. It might mean pray now, right? It might mean act now. It might mean go now. It might mean give now. Hallelujah. Somebody say respond. It demands a response. Glory to God. If liberty is threatened anywhere, it's threatened everywhere. Some could say, and I talked to a minister this past week at the pastor of Activate, Pastor Isaac, and great people, great family, great church over there in the Shug. Kind of their roots are in City Bible and all the awesome things God did in Portland over the years, and still does in the name of Jesus. But he was saying, you know, in 2020, we were thinking about moving the church to this really red conservative city. I think it was in Tennessee. He was like, we did all this research and all this. It's like, oh man, this is the reddest of the red. Conservative and people that give and all this kind of stuff, right? But they just had a check in their spirit and realized we need to stay right here. And I was like, that's right, brother. You and me, we're called to be here in this region for this time around these people. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, respond. The bell is ringing. Do you hear it? Are we listening for it? Right? And it made me think again of the seven mountains of influence. Right? It made me think of the mountain of religion. We ought to be praying for strong Christians every day. Right? It made me think of the mountain of family. We ought to be praying for strong families every day. Again, that young man that was at my parents' house this past week helping my dad get through some stuff. He's a paramedic, and they just had him check in every day a couple times to help my dad get some water out of his body, right? And he was so moved by pictures around our house. They got to know him a little bit, of our family. How many know your family is literally a testimony? Right? And he knew we were people of faith, and he wanted to know about, and man, the Lord began to touch. Here's a man that's used to responding. But he was so touched by this thing called family. Don't underestimate the power of family. I was in Seattle, a couple years ago, and we're walking around this, I don't know, out in public somewhere, and this really rude couple guys were like, get out of my way. And you know what I really sensed? They didn't like me because mom, dad, four kids. It was persecution against the family. Get your wife and four kids out of my way. Can you imagine that? So we pray for strong families. It's one of the mountains, right? We pray in Jesus' name for a strong government, for strong citizens, the government mountain, right? We pray for our president and vice president. And we pray, and I praise God, literally, I thank God every day. Thank you, Lord, for Donald Trump. Thank you for J.D. Vance. Thank you for Mike Johnson, right? Thank you for every judge. Help them to do right. Next week, we're going to talk more about judges and justice, right? We thank God for what we pray, and we pray now. We pray often. We pray throughout the day. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like you're on duty. You're on guard. Right? You are at your post in prayer. Hallelujah. Praying through these mountains. Because see, a lot of Christians think that, and even the world thinks, well, Christian, your place is in the church. So keep it in the church. Keep your faith in the church. Keep your family in the church. Keep your Christian chatter in the church. We don't want to hear it outside the church. And even Christians will say such things. But that's wrong. That is wrong. How many know when Jesus returns, he's going to be commander-in-chief of the entire planet? And if you read through this book, you'll see where the prophet and the king had connections. Right? Where people are involved in business. We pray over the business mountain, over the education mountain, the media mountain, the arts and entertainment mountain. The bell is ringing in each one of us to be somewhere serving in some way, pointing people to God, ringing out the voice of liberty in the places where he's graced us and called us to be. Right? So we're listening. Right? The family mountain, government, business, media, arts, and we pray, even if we're not called to certain places, we should be praying for them. Pray for God to have people in science, Christian scientists. Not Christian scientists. Not Tom Cruise, right? We're talking Pray for Tom Cruise. Pray for Christian actors. You know, the actor that's in Nicolas Cage movies, what are they called? National Treasury. The actor that plays his dad, I can't remember his name right now. John Voight. Thank you, Walter. He put out a post this past week using his influence, and you can look it up. John Voight's post on L.A., and he was, to summarize it, he was like, all you people that are doing crazy things in L.A. right now, you are fools. He said, Donald Trump is the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln. And he's fighting for us. And if you're out there burning cars and burning our city and protesting, you are fools. Hollywood actors that get it. Glory to God forevermore, right? Using their influence, using their voice. Amen. This is wonderful stuff. So we pray through these mountains that bell would ring and call people to respond to the mountain they're called to take. Pray for science. Pray for technology. The technology, you know, people that are called to technology. Pray for people that are called, you know, to whatever mountain it is. Science, technology, business, religion, ministry, pray through the mountain. Medicine, Christian doctors, praise God for the work that Mr. Kennedy's been doing in our name. And don't limit who God can use, right? To take out people that are in places of influence, that are doing things because of the love of money and power instead of the health of our children. Glory to God. Somebody say, pray through the mountains. For people to respond to those places. I want to show you now, Lacey, can we show this video now? Thank you. I've got a video clip from Victory News. Miss Opal Lee, who is the one who got a million signatures. Right? And this was during the Biden administration that she got this signed to become a national holiday, Juneteenth. But just in terms of honoring the day slavery ended. Right? Now, back in the Biden administration, like a lot of people, I felt like Christians were just the scum of the earth in their minds, right? So when I first heard about this, I kind of thought, it's the radical left trying to replace 4th of July, right? But that was not right. That was not right. This simply is another holiday to honor and remember an awesome thing that God did, somebody say, that God did in our land. And respect it and admire it, right? And the work of this woman is remarkable and should be remembered, right? So, and since the bell has a lot to do with the end of slavery, this is a great thing to remember. So go ahead, Lacey.
Today is a federal holiday. If you didn't know, it's Juneteenth. The newest federal holiday became official 4 years ago on June the 17th, 2021, when the President Biden at the time signed a law into a holiday. It's a National Independence Day. Opal Lee, a 93-year-old and civic leader who worked for over 40 years with one goal. Her petition to achieve this holiday had reached 1 million signatures. And the retired Fort Worth teacher was present at the signing. This momentous event arrived nearly 156 years to the day that the General Order Number 3 was delivered in Galveston. So what is General Order Number 3? Here's a quick breakdown. On June 19th of 1865, Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced that all enslaved people were free, more than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation of January 1st of 1863. This marked the last major group of enslaved people being informed of their freedom months after the end of the Civil War. So now you know, June 19th is a federal holiday. It's in the United States, and it's commemorating the end of slavery. All men were created equal. That was the goal from the beginning. The struggle to get there, guys, it was long and it was deadly. But we got there. Now it must be defended by every single generation, my generation and the next generation.
Somebody say hallelujah, right? So one woman in her 90s, right, made a difference. Made a difference. She was a voice, a great reminder. She had that Liberty Bell gonging on the inside of her. and gathered 1 million votes to make June 19th a national holiday, right? To commemorate no more slavery. And that's the spirit of liberty. The spirit of liberty means end of slavery, right? And so we need to be proclaiming that same message today. Like he talked about informing people, slavery has ended. In Jesus Christ, you are free from anything that would enslave you or from anyone that would enslave you. Glory to God, right? Somebody say, respond to the call. I'm so glad that Opal Lee responded to the call and people like her throughout the years. Glory to God, right? Bringing our nation out of darkness and into the light. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to close today with a word from Nehemiah. Because Nehemiah, this Bible is full of people. It's actually full of examples, really, of people that responded and people that either didn't respond or had a delayed response or people that did respond and then they quit. Right? How many know it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Right? But Nehemiah is a great example of a man who responded to the call of liberty in a time where Israel was in captivity. Right? And he worked with that. I really feel like, you know, the 4 years before, you know, this past 4 years before Trump came back in, that there was a real, that it felt oppressive like that. I know for goodness sakes it could be worse. But that was the gateway. It wanted to keep going, right? But even when you see people like Opal Lee, even in spite of that mindset, because you see, I heard it said this past week, and I couldn't agree more, that the radical left are slave drivers. They act like they're about freedom for all and all this kind of thing, but really what they want is a sub-level or existence of humans, all of them, that work for them. That's what they are, right? And even in spite of their agenda, God still is moving and working and exposing things and bringing our nation out, right? But it's taking awesome, you know, leadership to do so, right? But we're following the spirit of freedom. But in Nehemiah, here's a man that had a burden for Jerusalem, for Israel, for his nation that had been destroyed and burned, right? See, the whole burning of cities didn't start in Portland or Seattle or Chicago or New York, right? That's the devil's idea to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But even back in this era, when Israel had been destroyed and they were in captivity, there was still the sound of liberty ringing out in people's gut, in their spirit, in their soul, right? And in Nehemiah chapter 3, can we bump the lights up a little more, please? Thank you, Lacey. Yeah. So I can see the words. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to go through this kind of rapidly, all right? We're going to specifically look at chapters 2 and 4, but I would encourage you to read, it's only like 12 chapters in this book, but this is a great example. And it's followed by Esther, which is another great example of someone who heard the sound and had a choice, and she chose to respond, even though it put her own life in danger. And look what God did. But you'll see the common denominator in all of these stories that you read through. Jonah would be another example of he chose not to respond. And then he did respond, right? So, but all of them had this bedrock of faith in God. This bedrock of faith in God. That really made the difference in them, right? And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid. And the king said, "May the king live," and said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. Prayer is vital. Two things you see here from Nehemiah is a servant heart and a prayerful heart. Even though they were in a place of bondage, right, and captivity, God still, how many know God is not in captivity? So even if I feel like I'm in captivity, if God is inside of me, I'm not in captivity. That's why Iranians can rejoice. North Koreans can rejoice, Chinese can rejoice, and nobody can do a thing about it. Because even though they might be in a place of captivity in the spirit, if God is on the inside of you, you are free, free, free. Somebody can be on death row today and be more free than a lot of people roaming about freely out there. Because the God of freedom is on the inside, right? So the king opens up. What do you need? Let's talk. Glory to God. Right? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may, somebody say, rebuild it. Right? And the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region behind the river that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. This was an amazing person, Nehemiah. See, he had the concept that, yeah, I need to pray, but there's also practical things I need to do. And the Lord gave him that wisdom. Praise God, right? And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. He must give me timber to make beams and gates in the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. See, Nehemiah was smart enough to know this is the hand of God giving me favor. And I'm stepping through it. I'm responding to the call and I'm taking actions. Right? But the thing to remember is we're not doing this independently of God. That's why we can have confidence even in what happened in Iran this past week through our country, is we did this at the hand and direction of God. And a lot of people, I'm telling you, even Christians won't get that. Why? Because they're not living according to the hand of God in their own life. It's important to connect the dots. Right? Hallelujah. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Man, he had an escort, right? And then when Sanballat would be a good representative of everybody that despises what God wants to do. And how many know that's not limited to one political party anymore? Right? And Sanballat, the Hornite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, when they heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. And I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. I arose in the night and a few men with me. And this is key right here. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do. How many know you have to guard the call? You have to watch who you talk to, watch who you say things to. Right? Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and to the refuse gate, viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, to the gates that were burned with fire. And I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. I went up by night by the valley, viewed the wall, turned back and entered by the... See, he's assessing everything, right? He's not just going in and starting to swing shovels and... This is a great wisdom involved here, right? And so returned, and the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress we are in. Now that's key. That, you could say, is the gong. The distress is the gong. There's a need. There's injustice. There's slavery. There's some terrible, awful thing. Somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody say, be the somebody. Right? Do you see the distress? See, we can't get used to the distress and just embrace the distress and create laws that protect and promote the distress. No, that's not the Jesus we serve, right? How Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. We can't just go into Portland and Seattle and just say, this is how it is. No, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Gary Cassie taught me this week on the Victory Channel that kingdom means king and what he has dominion over. Kingdom means king, dominion. I never put that together before. But how many know when it says pray God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth, that includes Portland, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Iran, right? All the earth as it is in heaven. How many know in heaven, there's no question about who is in charge? Glory to God. And he said, pray that way, act that way, lead that way, serve that way, believe that way. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God. See, now he's telling, this is God told me this. Now the people have a choice. Oh, really? And a lot of times when you have a word from God, other people will also tell you, man, I've had the same burden. I've had, really, let's get together. Let's get this done, right? The hand of my God, which had been good upon me, also of the king's words, which had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to do this work. Somebody say amen. And when Sanballat heard about these things, and Tobiah, the Amorite, the official, all these other people heard of it. They heard of it. Somebody say they heard of it. They laughed at us. How many know about 4 years ago, even just about 8 months ago, when it said they laughed at us, there again is the word U.S., there were people laughing at us. I wonder how some of those people are thinking about us this morning. Come on, right? Why? Because we came together to rebuild, to reset, to remove, to uproot, to plant, to follow God's plan, right? And they despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So will you rebel against the rainbow? Look up, do a little word search in your Bible. Go to Blue Letter Bible app or your concordance or whatever and look up the word rainbow. And you'll see why the devil has used it. It literally is a symbol of the glory of God. There's literally a rainbow around the throne. You see how the devil, how sick he is, and how much he hates God? That he would take something like the rainbow and try to make it perverted and evil and disgusting? Because it really, truly is a sign of the glory of God. It's like the devil saying, I'm God, isn't it? The devil saying, it's my kingdom and my will. I'm God. Oh yeah, little g. Under our feet, God, right? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Somebody say, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. See, we have to never let loose of that concept and that truth that this is a God thing, not a Steve thing, not a U.S. thing, not an Israel thing. This is a God thing. Since it's us working with him, he will prosper us. And that doesn't mean we do it however we want to do it. We get our wisdom, we get our direction, we get our details, and then we begin to take these steps of faith, right? This is a marvelous thing. Hallelujah. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will rise and build. Somebody say there's an uprising. There's an uprising of the righteous, and there's an uprooting of the evil. So we need to be real watchful that we're on the side of the righteous. Somebody say amen, right? But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Somebody say glory to God. We keep our eyes on what is right and what is true. Flip over to, we'll close with this little portion in chapter 4 here, verses 7 through a few more. Now it happened when Sanballat and his homies, right, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored. Somebody say restored. And the gaps were being closed. Right? It's important that we have borders in this nation. Very important. There is a way to become citizens in this nation. We all have, right? Whether you were born as a citizen or applying for citizenship, that's a godly way to do it. But having wide open borders, we've seen the results of that. Right? So closing the gaps, and not only natural borders, but spiritual things. Closing the gaps, calling sin, sin, and right, right, and wrong, wrong, and light, light, and dark, darkness. How many know the church needs to get this right so that we can effectively broadcast it? Amen. And rebuild. They heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being closed, and they became very angry. How many have noticed anyone out there getting very, very angry at Christians, at Jews, at Christians, at the church? Very angry. Why? Because they're on the devil's side. And the devil is very angry. So what do? Turn in fear? Quit the work? Abandon the work? Act like, oh no, we're really on your side. We're really with you. Embrace some of what they believe so as to appear that, well, we like you too. No. Somebody say, N-O. We embrace the word of God. We love Jesus. Yes, we love everyone. But that doesn't mean we follow everyone. Doesn't mean we follow anyone. We follow the one. And anybody is welcome to come along. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. So see, this idea of attacking Israel, attacking God's plan, is nothing new. Right? Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Here, say, everybody say, come back to faith. Come back to faith. It's all about him. Say that. It's all about him. Right? We made our prayer to God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Somebody say, stay on it. Stay vigilant in prayer and in faith, right? In verse 11, our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Look at verse 15. It happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us, somebody say all of us, returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Did you know the enemy's plot is going to be brought to nothing? Hallelujah. Verse 18, we'll read about three more verses here, four maybe five. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Somebody say, keep the word of God handy, right? While you're doing your job, stay plugged in. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. That I would compare to the bell, the trumpet, right? And I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Amen. How many know it's a great big job we're doing in this world, and we don't see each other every day? Or other Christians doing stuff around the world. So we stay engaged in prayer and in the word, interception, right? Because we're all working on the same wall. It may not seem like it, but we're all working on the same wall. Right? Amen. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive. We are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us. Respond. Somebody say respond. Right? Respond to us there. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. What did we see yesterday? Our God fighting for us and for his people. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. The same time I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. I mean, these people are on it. They are praying like it depends on God and working like it depends on them, right? So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes, even that everyone took off for watch. So they were vigilant. Somebody say, be vigilant. Be hot. Be on fire for God. Let's all stand up. I know I went long today. But we are going to be a people who respond. And we are, I believe. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Part of being, you know, responsive is coming to church every week. Being in a place of worship and prayer and hallelujah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words to us today. We receive them with gratefulness. We thank you, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, giving each one here, each one of us, a heart that is responsive to your voice, to your call. We receive that in Jesus' name, and we thank you that that spirit of liberty is ringing loud and long and consistent and constant through every one of us. We send it out in the name of Jesus. And we ring it now in the spirit, Lord, that those who are called to even be a part of this ministry, God, that they would come running and be ready to serve and help and just to be a part of establishing the work of God that he's doing here. And we give you the praise and faith for it. We thank you that that bell is ringing out through us to our families, calling them to Christ, to our nation, pointing it to God, to Israel and the nations of the world. And we give you the praise and the glory, God. Somebody say, I hear it, and I respond in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen. Amen, amen. Bless you.